Hey, eat any way you like on Wednesdays, because that's when we talk about food here on The Takeaway. And you know, in America, this Wednesday, food-wise, we've got plenty of this sort of thing. That is the sound. Listen carefully. It's the sound of goats being milked at a little place called Heart Song Farm. It was recorded by one of our guests in this segment this morning, Kathy Gunst, who's a food writer and radio producer. She joins us from Maine. Good morning, Kathy.
Morning.
And here in the studio is Liz Thorpe, who's vice president of the very famous Murray's Cheese right here in New York and author of the very new book, The Cheese Chronicles. Liz, good morning.
Good morning.
Basically, we've invited you here to talk about a story that maybe some have noticed looking in the grocery dairy case, but American cheese is no longer sliced and yellow and for little kids' sandwiches anymore. It's become an artisanal gourmet sort of a success in its own right, taking on cheeses all around the world. And I guess you could say that cheese has followed the sort of wine industry in the United States and has become something extraordinary. Liz, what accounts for this?
Oh, well, I mean, I think that people are learning that American cheese doesn't have to be made out of vegetable oil, for one. But it's actually it's a very quickly growing industry, and we're eating more cheese every year. Our consumption in this country is growing astronomically, and I think people are learning about real food and wanting to actually know where that comes from. So,
Kathy Gunst, there's been a long tradition of subsidizing milk and having lots and lots of milk in the United States, but it takes more than just milk to make great cheese. What else is necessary, and what else has informed this trend? And I'm going to just eat while you're talking.
Oh, well, lucky you. I hope your goat cheese goes well with your coffee. The thing that struck me, I spent the day with Valerie Jarvis at Heart Song Farm in Gilmington Iron Works, New Hampshire, a small town in southern New Hampshire. It's excruciatingly hard work. It's 365 days a year, 7 days a week. She's up at 7 in the morning milking the goats, and then again 7 at night. You can't miss it. I mean, we were there early in the morning for the morning milking. These udders are so full and bursting, and you heard sound. And what that visual really is you walk into a small room and you see the udders bursting with milk of 10 goats at a time with these suction tubes kind of pulling on their teats and milk coming out. And it's hilarious. I never saw the faces of these goats until later in the day, but I was really struck by the labor and the physical work involved.
Well, here's what Valerie told you about how much she loves what she does.
I love the goats. I get a kick out of them. They're funny. Making cheese for me is like an art form. And I remember when I first started and I first started trying to take it out and market it to the chefs, it was just like it would be if you took your art to a gallery and you were standing there waiting for people to look at it, you know. It was extremely stressful.
And Liz Thorpe, I imagine it was stressful for the first American cheesemakers who came into Murray's, which is used to buying cheese from all over the world, and trying to get Murray's to buy artisanal American cheese. What are the standouts?
Well, I mean, now there are so many. 10 years ago, we took them all because we really wanted to help them and support them, but most of them were not that good. These days, I mean, I brought you some of the standouts for me right now at this moment in the year. Cabot cloth-bound cheddar is something that you have a chunk of.
That's this right here.
Yeah, made by good old Cabot, the guys you see in the supermarket, but in partnership with the first aging facility that's been built in the U.S. So it's made by Cabot and then aged for 12 months.
Yeah, it's amazing.
By the sellers at Jasper Hill, and it's an English style totally different from the block cheddar we all know.
Salty,
very sharp,
creamy, but it has a lot of depth to it.
It's got those awesome toffee caramelized
notes.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
I love, and so does everyone seems to go for it.
Now, you wrote a book called The Cheese Chronicles, and that is the chronicles of these American cheesemakers getting their act together?
Yeah, it's also my chronicle. I mean, it's about leaving my normal job and getting into cheese and why I did that.
An abnormal job.
The answer is I didn't know what I was doing. But no, I did it because I loved it, and over the course of my job, I've met all these cheesemakers and farmers and spent time with them milking their goats.
Well, Kathy, let's talk about your experience with Valerie Jarvis, because she talks about something that really bears directly on the sort of marketing trend of these American cheeses. Goat cheese, you would think, wouldn't exactly compete with the yellow American slices, but listen to this.
When I first started the markets, you know, 7-8 years ago, I would have parents say to their kids when they walked to the table, "Oh, it's goat cheese. You won't like that." And now I have kids leading their parents to the table and saying, "Mommy, Mommy, you know, got to get this for me." And in fact, I had a woman telling me she had a little like 4-year-old at the table a couple of weeks ago, and she said that she has to stop her because she'll eat so much of the cheese. She's like, "You've already eaten $8 worth of cheese."
Yeah, Kathy Gunst, she makes a great point. I mean, this is expensive, top-of-the-line cheese here. What are some standouts in your experience?
Well, Hartsong Farm makes a whole variety of cheeses. Their fresh cheese is just fabulous. It's very spreadable like a cream cheese, but it's a very creamy consistency but tart. I have to say, I kind of feel like the odd man out at the party here. You're all munching on your cheese, but I can imagine Valerie's cheeses. She blends them with herbs, she wraps rounds of fresh goat cheese in grape leaves, and then you're supposed to throw them on your grill and barbecue them for few minutes.
That sounds good.
Just until the cheese begins to ooze. It's fabulous. Oh. But she ages some very sophisticated cheeses. She has a Coeur Blanc, which is kind of ripe in the middle and creamy and oozy, but on the outside it's firm. So you cut in and you have about 3 different textures with each bite, and it's fabulous. I was really impressed with the sophistication. I mean, she has 100 goats. She's only on 5 acres. She's only been doing it for 10 years, but all this hard work. Her cheeses are very sophisticated.
Great. Well, I've got a little piece of goat cheese here, Liz, here in the studio, or chèvre. Right.
If you want to roll that way.
You want to describe this?
Yeah, sure. This is similar to one of the cheeses Valerie makes. This is actually from a producer in California called Cypress Grove, and the cheese is Humboldt Fog. It's one of the classics. Mary Keane started making goat cheese in 1982, and there's a chapter in the Cheese Chronicles called "It's 1982, Do You Know Where Your Goats Are?" about what happened when women primarily started making cheese from milk other than cows, which really rocked the American food scene 30 years ago. So,
can people just make cheese, or do you have to be a big agribusiness?
No, I mean, certainly Valerie's a great example of how you don't have to be, and how now you can actually sell your product sustainably and viably on the market, especially if you have farmers markets nearby. That's a huge boon for these small producers. But I mean, I think the point is that more and more small producers, small cooperatives, groups of farmers, and individual producers are able to support themselves.
Well, and it's all there in the Cheese Chronicles. It's a book by Liz Thorpe, who's vice president of Murray's Cheese in New York, and Kathy Gunst, food writer and radio producer up in Maine. Thanks for introducing us to the great goat cheese up there at Valerie Jarvis's farm.
Thank you.
All right, Food Wednesday. I'm just going to sit here and eat cheese. Celeste?
We can't give you a taste of the cheese over the internet, but if you want to hear the segment again, you can subscribe to our podcast at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes. We're talking about healthcare all day today. Yesterday, President Obama was in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, talking at a town hall, and here's your takeaway.
He tries to lay in place what his world will look like if, in fact, you pass the reform he advocates. If he sells it, if those with insurance believe it, health care reform is not simply going to pass, it's going to be accepted in public opinion as a desirable thing to have done.
That's Kathleen Hall Jamieson from the Annenberg Public Policy Center.
Nobody describes the message challenge like Kathleen Hall Jamieson. We've been asking you to weigh in, too. Control the message this morning on health care. What's the most important issue, or what health care myth do you most want to dispel? You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Huckenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee.
This is The Takeaway.